Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Team updates. Everybody's, for the most part, in good spirit. We've got some news from the league today that, you know, there won't be fall sports. So with that being said, you know, you got some seniors that are a little bit, you know, a little upset about that, which you can understand. But we're working through it. There's still a lot on the table that we don't know right now. But what we do know is we won't be competing football, and none of our sports for that matter will be competing in the fall, and then we'll go from there. So.
Now, I don't, as you said, there's still stuff that has to be learned about this thing right now. But would it be kind of safe to assume that it'd be the same policy they had last year, where for like baseball and stuff, where you could have another year of eligibility because you couldn't play this year? Is that kind of likely, do you think?
I would, and this is all speculation and assuming, there's a possibility that I don't know. I would like to think if that was the same for the spring sports, that would possibly transfer over for the fall sports. But again, I haven't gotten the complete word on that. So.
Okay. So we're going to skip past a couple of questions just based upon what the information we just learned. And so Sam would like to know, if football shouldn't play, which we just found out that it wouldn't, are you aware of any other type of contingency plan in the MIAC of when football may play?
You know, that is something that I'm not sure of yet. I know the athletic directors will meet, and they're always going to try and do what's best for the student athletes from a safety standpoint first, and then our kids come, because they're getting a great education, which is the main reason why they're here. But then the second piece is, they want to compete and play at a high level, and that's what the MIAC provides. So we have great ADs in this conference. They're going to get together. They're going to visit at some point. I don't even know when, but they're going to visit, and they're going to talk about what possibly that could look like in the spring, and we'll go from there. So.
Next, we head to Lamar. Says, Coach, I feel my skill set is better for corner, but my speed has me at free safety. Is there anything I can do to help get a little faster? Are there drills you recommend?
I think there's things that you can do as far as your start, getting out of the blocks and starting fast. A lot of explosive type exercises, so, plyo box work is always a good thing. I'm trying to see. For the most part, though, honestly, a lot of that stuff is genetic. Who's mom and dad, right? You gotta take a hard look at who's my mom and dad and what kind of genetics do they have? A lot comes from that, so.
I think somebody asked you a question kind of similar to this quite a while ago, and you talked a little bit about, footwork and positioning and all that other kind of stuff. So there are other things I gather you could do beyond just trying to improve your speed.
Sure. Now, yeah, agility and the side-to-side movements and things of that nature, you can definitely continue to work. I work my son out, Tuesday and Thursday nights, man, and we do a lot of agility, a lot of side-to-side, a lot of bending at the waist. You find a lot of these high school kids, man, they don't bend well, man, so I'm just trying to get him to be a good bender, from with the knees. A lot of guys want to lean over at the waist, but you got to be able to, I tell my son all the time, you got to bend at the knees, man. You got to be a bender. So, yeah, there are things that you can definitely work on from an agility standpoint, but to say, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this workout for 6 weeks to get faster, that's a little tough, man. That's just some things that you got to, genetically, you got it or you don't, man, unfortunately.
Lou asks, it says, Coach Taylor, I don't remember which quarterback it was last year, but there was talk about that one would fall in the draft because his hands were not the proper size, quote unquote. I understand you want a quarterback who can grip the ball, but is there an optimal size for a quarterback's hand?
Wow. You know what? I think it was on the kid from Oklahoma who went to Arizona, Kyler Murray. I believe it was him, if I'm not mistaken. I've done a couple internships in the NFL. I never got a chance to be around the NFL when it was time for drafting, but I know those things do matter to some GMs. You got to remember, some of those GMs are like, take John Elway. He's a GM for Denver. He played football. So I'm assuming that probably has a bigger on his board, when they're looking at quarterback's hands, because you got to think, the college football and the NFL football, totally different sizes. You're playing in a lot of weather, and not that you don't play in the weather in college, but there's a lot of weather situations in the NFL, so you want to make sure you have a quarterback that can grip that ball. So I think, I'm just speaking from common sense. I don't know how important it is, but I'd imagine for some guys up there, that's very important. you know, the hand size, you know, so.
Our buddy Andre returns and says, Coach, we need some better receivers this season in Philly. I don't know if this was dealt with in the offseason, but what do you think?
I definitely know. I like the kid. I was hoping, Dre, we were going to get the kid from Stevie Lamb from Oklahoma, or the guy Judy, but both of those guys, they were good players. We didn't get them. I can't remember the draft, the guy that we got, too, man. I know we did take a receiver from TCU, I believe. I know he's a speedster. I can't remember the young man's name. So hopefully we'll get better. I mean, they got good coaches in Philly. You know, I'm just hoping that they'll be able to play football this fall in Philadelphia, man. We'll see. We got a long way to go with this whole COVID situation. So we'll see.
Dan asks, are there advantages in having more of an H-back lined up in the backfield than a true fullback?
Are there more advantages with having an H-back? Well, typically, I'd say, you know, depending on what you do offensively, yeah, you know, if you are, you know, you want the H-backs are usually a little bit faster, can catch the ball, maybe possibly a little bit better, but then you got guys like Tom Rathman and the Darrell Johnson with the Cowboys and Tom Rathman with the Frisco Niners. They were fullbacks. They can catch the football, man. You know, we had Herschel Walker who lined up as a fullback a little bit in Philadelphia at the end of his career. He caught the ball well out the backfield. So it just kind of depends. You know, your fullbacks are guys, a little bit more blocking guys, pass protecting guys. You know, so it just kind of depends on, I think, what offensively what you're doing. You know, but both positions have a skill set that's very needed in the game today. So,
Paul would like to know, what do you do with a player who seems to have lost his confidence?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, that's one thing my dad would always preach, especially when I was playing baseball growing up. Confidence when you're at the bat, when you're at the plate. You know, confidence. That's tough. You know, I think you have to put those guys in situations and practice where they can have success. So now when it gets to, you know, that's how I feel like confidence gets built. You know, you got to put them in practice situations where you can have success, maybe start gaining a little bit of confidence. Because you just lose confidence and try to go out there on a Saturday, it's going to be tough if you're not confident, man. And there's some positions that's like DB, you know, quarterback, man. You got to have confidence. You got to be almost a little bit, you know, cocky to play those positions, man. So, you know, I think confidence is a big deal. You know, that's a big deal, man. So it's a tough deal. But I think setting them up for success in practice and then practicing the right way and having the success in practice can definitely build confidence. That's a great question.
Dylan asks, thank you for answering my question last week. I have another question for you. They talk about the adjustment of a college player going to the pros is very steep because of the speed. Is that same kind of adjustment true for high school kids going to college, even at the D3 level?
Absolutely. Especially in this league, in the MIAC, man, when you're playing with great teams, you know, there's a lot of teams in this league that have a lot of Division II type football players. You know, we played against four Division I quarterbacks last year. So, you know, I think, in my opinion, you know, jumping from high school, 18, you know, 17 years old, to going to play in college with guys that are 20, 21 years old, 19, 20, 21 years old, that's a big deal, man. That's not easy to do, man. So that's why it's tough for freshmen to get on the field. And then when you're a developing program like us, we've had to play a couple freshmen early. You know, they're going to struggle physically, mentally. The game is just different. It's faster. You know, it's more physical. So, yeah, it's tough to go from high school, being a good high school football player, to coming to playing in the MIAC as a freshman. That's hard. I mean, we had a lot of guys that did that last year. So that's why, you know, I know when we get a chance to get back and play football, you know, it's going to be that experience of 2019 playing all those young guys is going to be good for Hamlin University. I know that for a fact. So,
Tom would like to know, can you give me some ideas on what you think are good between meal foods to eat that are healthy and processed through the body well?
I think peanut butter and jelly is always good. You know, peanut butter is a good meal for you to eat, you know, and it burns the right way. Any kind of like almonds and nuts, things of that nature are always good. I'm not answering all the way, but pastas are always good, man. Pasta is good. That's good, man. Just stay away from obviously the fried foods and sugar and sweets in between, you know, stay away from those. So there you go.
Well, thanks, Coach, for ruining my between meals of Snickers bars and potato chips.
Yeah, the sweets and I'm a big culprit of. I love potato chips, man. So I gotta do a better job of not eating so many potato chips.
Jake would like to know, Coach, in high school, did you think you would be in the NFL one day?
No, not in high school. You know, growing up, you know, that's something that, you know, man, I want to play in the NFL. You know, you have that dream, you have that goal. And I don't want to sound negative, but there's a certain level of common sense slash, okay, all right, I'm 5'7¾". All right, I'm 150 pounds, and I don't run a 4.44. Probably not going to, and I'm not getting recruited by Penn State, Rutgers, or Temple. Probably not going to the NFL, you know. So there's a certain level of common sense that people got to use, and some people don't have that common sense to know, you know. So in high school, no. You know, when I saw the best player in my high school getting looks from Clemson and Florida State and North Carolina, you know, and those guys weren't coming to see me, I knew NFL is probably not going to be my calling, but I love the game. I continue to play. Was able to earn a scholarship by the grace of God out to Illinois State and went out there and played and participated. And, you know, and even at Illinois State, you know, you get to Division One, you know, smaller Division One, but you get to that kind of a level. And, man, my roommate played 7 years up in Canada, and I was not the athlete of him. You know, I had another teammate who played 8 years in the NFL. You know, I remember being at practice with Avion Kayson, like, holy smokes, man, this guy's a real, and he only played 2 years of small time football, and he was undrafted to the NFL. So that lets you know the kind of caliber. Our quarterback, he just retired from Canada last year, Kevin Glenn. I mean, he was our quarterback for 3 years, and I mean, I just played with some talented guys. So again, not to ever sell yourself short, but you know, there's a point in time as a kid, you grow up. I can remember going to the circus in Philadelphia, and I remember telling my mom and dad, man, I'm going to work. I'm going to play. I don't remember what I said. I said I was either going to work or play over there where the Eagles were playing at the Vet. You know, so now that's still not a, you know, that might possibly happen as far as coaching, but playing, no, I knew, you know, I knew coming out of high school, wow, you know, I was fortunate to get a chance to go play ball at small Division One. And then even when you got to Division One, like I said, and I had some guys that were legit real deal, and I knew talent-wise for myself, just being honest, like, hey, that's probably not being the cards for me. That's why, you know, education was a big, big, big deal, man, so.
Denise asks, she says, Coach Taylor, do you mean to tell us that you were spanked by your mom when you were younger? I can't believe you would get in trouble like that.
I mean, kids, right? Kids are kids. You know, there's a couple times where my mom had to, you know, she had to pull that belt out because I wasn't doing the right things, or I might have looked the wrong way or responded the wrong way. So it wasn't nothing out of line, out of bounds. I wouldn't change it to this day. You know, I love the way my mom and dad raised me. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for them. So, but, you know, and times are a little bit different too, but, you know, those are times where, you know, your mom and dad say something, you better do it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, even with my son today, it's like a lot of why and explaining. There was no why and explaining. The parents tell you to get out the street, you get out the street. There is no why. You might get hit by a car, right? There is no, hey, get out the street, why? Right? That's the society that we live in now, is everything is a why. And, you know, so it's interesting to me, some of the conversations I have with my players and my son is just like, man, when I was growing up, it's just your parents tell you to do something, do it, you know, because I got experience and I know what works, you know. So that's always interesting to me. So to answer your question, yes, there was a couple times where, you know, I had to, you know, I stepped out of line, and mom or dad, you know, had to get me back in line. So.
And why is it good to be a Piper?
You know what, man, it's great to be a Piper. Although, you know, our guys aren't going to get it done. The Mayak won't compete in the fall. You know, our guys, just the way they handle things, the way they handle situations, it lets me know that, you know, we have the right kind of kids in the program. They get that there's some things that's out of your control. You know, we're in a pandemic right now, man, and the way that our guys have showed up to meetings, ready to work, trying to control what they can control, I mean, it's really cool to see that, and I know we got the right kind of guys, and when we do get a chance to compete, I want to make sure that we do everything possible as coaches to make sure we put these kids in the right situation so they can have success and have a fun on whenever Saturday we're playing. So it's good to be a Piper because we got the right kind of kids in the program. And I'm just excited to be their coach, and you know, we're going to work through this thing together. So,
awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, Rob. Thank you.